What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the last episode of Self-Helpless of 2019.
Whoa!
I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher, sorry.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson.
You know how long we've been doing this podcast. I'm staring you straight in the eyes. You're looking at me like you think we're going to have tea or something. I'm like, bitch, say your name.
Oh, right, you guys.
We're 15 people away from our 500-person Patreon goal.
Yes! That's so pretty close. Exciting.
Very exciting. Tomorrow... this records as a New Year's Eve, so perfect timing to make some goals and resolutions.
Absolutely.
Yes. Join Patreon if you want more Self-Helpless.
Yeah, when we reach 500, we're doing a live stream Q&A exclusively for our patrons.
Yes, very excited for that.
Very cool.
We have a quotable buffet.
Yes,
exciting. We've got one from C.S. Lewis. There are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind.
I like that.
That is a nice one.
I try
to think of that whenever something's ending, or you know, you feel like you're losing something. You go, okay, well, this is making room for something better.
I like it. Yeah,
for sure.
Yes. The next one from Oprah Winfrey. Year's end is neither an end nor a beginning, but a going on, with all the wisdom that experience can instill in us. Cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right.
Oh, God, I love cheers Oprah. To you, Oprah.
I love Oprah. Seriously, I've been in love with Oprah since I was like 10 years old. Like, she is my queen.
She is. I want her to be president.
Oh, gosh.
George Eliot said, "It's never too late to be what you might have been." Oh. I love that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That
that's
is so great. Good.
Oh, it's a good one.
How have we not said that yet?
I know. I can't believe we haven't said that.
That's you guys, like this reminds me of that one I love where it's like, if you're worried about how old you're going to be when you do that thing, you're going to be the same age if you don't. Or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, that really strikes you,
right? I love that
one. Oh, it's so good.
It's in the artist way. And then our last quotable, again, we love the Dalai Lama. Always got those good, good quotes. Once a year, go someplace you've never been before.
That's just good advice.
Yeah.
Sure is.
That is.
I like that.
That is.
Yeah. So we're doing our annual year wrap-up episode, because we did this last year as well.
Right? I think
we
so.
Did. I always feel
we
like...
did like a resolution episode of something, perhaps.
Which I was just saying last episode, I cannot believe that this year is done.
Yeah. Oh my God. I should have listened to our resolutions episode to see if I did any of this shit.
Oh my gosh, we should have.
I did not.
Maybe we'll do that for the next episode as like the start of the year. We'll check in and be like, okay,
that's a good idea.
We do it. Yeah.
I have a feeling like I did.
I probably didn't. It was probably manage my workaholism and instead I started two more businesses.
I know, seriously. I'm like, I'm gonna travel less and now I've been home like 6 days this month.
Yeah.
So we have some studies on New Year's resolutions. Studies have shown that less than 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolutions 30 days after making them, mm-hmm. and only 8% accomplish them.
Yeah, dude.
So, you know, if you failed, you're not alone.
Yes.
In a survey of over 1,000 people in the U.S. asking, what are your New Year's resolutions? 53% said save money. 45% said lose weight. I can't believe lose weight isn't first.
I was just going to say that.
That is, I know
save
it's not far
money.
Behind.
I never even think that.
I know. I mean, I think make more money.
Yes. Yeah,
save, money. Save money.
Yeah. It's boring.
25% said have more sex. 24% said travel more. 23% said read more books.
Nerds.
Bam.
22% said learn a new skill. 21% buy a house. 16% quit smoking. And 15% find love.
Wow, that's like the lowest one.
I can't believe love is the lowest percentage.
Yeah, below reading books.
I know. Seriously.
Wow. Don't you think find love is kind of a strange resolution to make? Because sometimes that feels a little bit out of your control.
I guess
sometimes,
every
you know.
Year, every year that we are all together at my grandparents, we've done that. We maybe done this like 3 years. My sisters and I have done this thing where I think my mom used to do it when she was younger with my grandparents and stuff. Where we get like a jar and we all write down predictions about other people, not about us, but about other people.
Oh, that's cool.
I think some of them are about yourself. And then you put them in the jar, and then the next year you open them all up and you see like what came true and stuff.
That's
which is
really
fun.
Cool.
Yeah, like I know
that.
One year, maybe it was probably last year, because I think someone had written like Taylor's in like a really great relationship or something like that. Yeah. And so I was like, sent it to my boyfriend at the time, was like, cut to this year. No, I'm joking. Still in a nice relationship, different one. And
swapped it out.
Swapped it out. We're fine. But it's cool to see like what came true. And like 1 year was like Taylor sold a show. It was a year I sold a show. It didn't get made, but like things like that.
God,
it's just
so
cool.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
It is a fun thing to do. So if you
I like that idea.
Yeah, if you want, we should maybe we should all do it and make predictions about each other.
That
and
see what oh my God, that would be neat.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
Very cool. I love that a lot.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it a lot. On this episode, we're going to be covering 5 questions you should ask yourself at the end of each year to make the next one even better. So, number 1, what goal did you set for yourself this year? And if you didn't accomplish it, why not? Have you ever said next year is going to be different, but then not follow through? Many people are guilty of this. Think about some of the goals you set for yourself at the beginning of this past year. If you didn't achieve them, how come?
I need to know what I said last year, and I bet it was probably like manage my workaholism, you know, all of those things. I actually, one of the things I think I probably wanted to like strengthen some of my like my personal relationships that I had not been like tending to, and I did do that this year, and I think that's like one of the things I'm most proud of.
Yeah,
like that I actually followed through and did that.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to remember. I think mine was like set better boundaries.
Yes.
Like be better about that. I think I do continue to get better at doing that. And I can't remember if I made specific concrete goals, like in terms of do another late night set or whatever. But I know I said become a better comedian. And I do feel like by the end of this year, I'm a better comedian than I was a year ago. And that always feels good. And I did do another late night set.
Yeah.
It just airs next year, but I taped it this year. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't feel like I accomplished the things I wanted to accomplish.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of mine was to travel less, which I did for like the first 5 months of the year, and then it kind of ramped up again.
Right.
That's a good chunk of time, though, to have like been keeping on it.
It is a good chunk of time, and I do think getting on the right medications was one of them for sure. And I tried at the beginning of the year, and then they didn't work out. And then there was, you know, a 6-month stretch where I was just like, everything's going to be fine. I don't need it. And now I feel like, you know, I'm still tinkering with it, but now I feel like I am.
That's
and
great.
So it did happen just under the wire. I mean, not even just under the wire, because I got on them in like August.
Yeah.
So.
But you're feeling like they're working. And
August feels like such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's a big one. And then, yeah, I think I made general goals about career stuff. Like, we talked about this on our last episode. We just recorded for Girl Stop Apologizing. We just recorded that episode before this one. And we were talking about setting, like, intentions and not putting a deadline on specific goals so that you don't get, like, too down on yourself if you don't do them within the year. Mm-hmm. But I do think the beginning of last year was the first time that I wrote down, like, an hour special on Netflix.
That's really cool.
I was fully, like, you know, thinking, like, I wanted the half hour this year, and then I wanted an hour, like, in a few years.
Right.
I thought, like, 28. That's what I was thinking. Like, 28 to 30.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And so I do think there's something to just, like, putting it out there.
That's cool.
Because you're just thinking that way.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
That encourages me to, like, not be afraid to make specific goals.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, if we set resolutions in January, on January episode, then I had just left my day job. So chances are I was probably like, I don't trust any of this yet. Yeah. So maybe my resolution should be, like, trusting that I will continue to make money off my own business and all that type of stuff. And so, you know, a year's gone by and I trust it more, not completely, because I'm still, you know, it's still new and I'm still, like, nervous about everything, but at least I have, like, a year's worth of evidence to, like, okay, I did the thing.
You've definitely changed.
I did it.
Like, I remember right when you left it, you were pretty freaked out.
Yeah.
About, like, I don't know. Like, I hope this works out, but I just don't know for sure. And I feel like I hardly ever hear you say that anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, kind of the proof is in the pudding. Like, you've been so successful in this year doing it. So it's like,
I think I've just, like, you know what? I'll figure it out. If it does, you know, not work out the way I want, then I would just figure it out. I'd get a job, or I'd, you know, do something part-time, or I'd something.
It is amazing how quickly things can change for you. And I think it's important to remember that when things aren't great, too, because when things change for the worse very quickly, it is very jarring. But you got to remember, like, oh, things can turn around just as quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice way to look at it.
Yeah, that's what that's, like, the biggest thing I've learned this year, I think, is, like, yes, bad things can happen very quickly. And I think I had a lot of fear at the beginning of last year about, like, bad things happening. And I still do. But I think, you know, when you go through, like, painful things that you were afraid of happening and they do happen, there is, like, a strength in that of, like, oh, I can kind of get through anything.
Yeah.
And being afraid of all these things doesn't mean they're not going to happen.
Yeah.
It just means you're going to spend a lot of time afraid of them before they do.
Yeah. I felt that way after the Brazilian waxing. I got through that. Yeah. Fucking, I'll pop a kid out. How much worse can it be?
Oh my gosh, seriously? How funny. You, like, have a kid, they're like, are you okay? You're like, this was nothing compared to sugaring.
You don't know where I've
been. You have no idea.
I almost complained to my mom about how painful it was, and I was like, I tore her vagina with my body, so she probably doesn't want to hear about it.
That's really funny.
All right, so we move on to number two.
Yeah.
So the second question, where did the majority of your time go? Think of time as an investment. You have 24 hours in a day, and wherever you choose to invest those hours, you will see a return. If you invest your time in beneficial things, reading, practicing your craft, working out, etc., you will get smarter or get better at what you do, etc. If you invest your time in things that aren't beneficial for you, like hanging out with negative people or binge watching Netflix every weekend, then you will see your investment give you a return there as well. You will probably become more negative, or you might adopt poor time management habits. In order to move forward with any goal or project, you have to be extremely aware of how you spend or invest your time. So this past year, where did the majority of your time go, and was it time well spent?
Ooh. I really like this question.
That's a really good one.
Time as investment. You know what? The thing that came to mind first that makes me so grossed out is I feel like it was to social media.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Just like on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
Obviously, like, doing stand-up for a living, a lot of your time is invested in that. But it's weird because your time on stage is actually so small.
Yeah.
I know that, like, writing and getting to the gig and all that stuff. Oh, sorry, my nose is running.
But I feel like I am on social media so much every day, which has had a positive impact in certain ways. Mm-hmm. Like if your following grows, I've had really cool opportunities where like I've gotten to stay at hotels on the road for free in exchange for like, you know, giving them a shout out on my social media, which is like that's positively impacting my ability to travel and my finances. Right. And it's cool to have like your comedy reach more people and all that stuff. Yeah. But also social media can have a very negative impact as well on your mental health. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel a difference when I don't pay attention to social media. Like I haven't posted in like a week and a half, which How do you is pretty feel? Long for me. I feel pretty good. Mm. And I
What happens to your numbers when you do that?
Nothing.
They go up, they go down.
They don't do anything. I mean, they've been going up, but not like dramatically any differently.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Like I'll get new followers, but you know, sometimes if I post too much, I lose followers.
Yeah.
More so than posting too little, I think. I think I tend to feel better when I don't post as much.
I'm sure.
It takes a lot of mental energy to just plan posts so and be like, then you're always checking. And like, if you don't post for a while, you don't have anything to check. Mm. And I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I haven't.
It's a slot machine.
Yeah. I haven't posted in a week and a half. So I'm like, well, I don't need to check that app because there are no notifications that I feel strongly about checking. I mean, I guess I've been on Twitter, but not on Instagram. Mm. And Instagram's the one that'll suck me in the longest.
Right. Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. I think the most time I've spent, probably working. I think that's been the. If I had my pie chart in front of me, I think work would be a big part of it. I think it's also because I had just started a new business. And so as like a new business owner, entrepreneur, whatever, I was working really, really long hours, more so than I was at my corporate job, to make sure everything would run smoothly and all that stuff. But I think I'm in a much more balanced place now where I like basically have normal 9 to 5 hours that I've kind of given myself with more breaks and more flexibility. So I think I'm in a better position than I was at the beginning of the year where it felt very off balance.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I like that question a lot.
Yeah.
Number three, who did you spend the most time with?
Oh.
The way we develop as human beings is in a room of mirrors. We sculpt ourselves based on the interactions we have with other people. Some people challenge us in good ways and we grow positively. Others tear us down. Some encourage, some discourage, some amplify fear, some dissolve it. Who you spend your time with is as important as how you are spending your time because the two go hand in hand. You need to surround yourself with like-minded people before the new year begins. Check your circle, and if it's not helping you, it's time to move on.
Hmm.
Ooh, I love that question. I think it's nice to like be asked that every now and again. I think we get like comfortable in certain relationships and like friendships and stuff. And you're like, is this like the right person to have in my life as a friend still? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who do you guys feel like you spent the most time with?
Cam.
Yeah.
Spent the most and your time dog. With Cam and Maverick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I really saw my friends and family more this year, which I think was probably one of my resolutions that I stuck
with. Yeah, you did a good
really,
job of that.
I like went out of my way, made an effort more so than I have any other year to do that. And I was able to because of my new schedule working from home and making my own hours. So I was able to like go up at, you know, 3 p.m. to see my little sister's softball game or what, you know, stuff that I wasn't able to do with my corporate job. So I think I'm really happy with who I spent my time with.
That's awesome.
This year, I would say. Yeah.
How about you, Tay?
Yeah, I think I made an effort. I'm pretty good about not spending time with people who aren't important to me. I think once I called off my engagement and went through my breakup, I put a lot of time into like fostering friendships within like the comedy community that I just didn't have time for before because it was all going to my relationship, which I don't regret doing. That's what I want to do in a relationship. And I do feel like it was a good use of my time, even though it didn't work out.
Yeah.
But I do think I am still trying to make enough time for like, it's just hard to schedule. I mean, it's hard enough for the three of us to schedule to podcast. And then anytime we all hang out in any way, we're like, oh, this is nice. I would love to see my sisters more. And it's just hard to see them. Like, the holidays are nice because it's an excuse for everybody to get together. But like now everybody has very serious partners. And so like everyone's partners were over for Thanksgiving and it just changes the dynamic. And it gets harder and harder to see the people you care about as you get older and busier. So yeah. I think I want to be better about that this next year for sure. Just about scheduling time far in advance as opposed to like, hey, what are you doing this week? Like, can we figure out, like, really going out of your way. Yeah. To make sure.
Yeah.
You see people.
For sure. Well, especially with our schedules where we're like, we know so far in advance when we work. Like, if you don't make time to just be like, I'm scheduling this weekend as I'm going to do this thing with my friends or I'm going to go on this vacation with my boyfriend, like, it will get filled with work.
Absolutely.
It just will. It has to be like, you have to like already book airfare and hotel so you like can't like wiggle out of it.
Yeah.
Because I've done that where I like plan a trip with friends from home and then I get offered something and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm like close to wiggling out, but I'm like, you know what? No, I want to do this. I already have like, I've spent the money to get there and do it. So I'm not going to back out. And I'm never like, oh, I regret doing that trip with my friends because I could have been like, working a club that weekend, I'm always like, oh, this was absolutely the right thing to do.
Yeah. And it's always, I think it's good to ask yourself this even maybe more than once a year, because I think especially friendships, like you can outgrow friendships.
Yeah.
And people can be great for like a season in your life or a chapter or a time, and not everybody's supposed to be forever. So it's good to be constantly checking in with yourself and going, okay, is this relationship still serving me, whether it's friends, romantic, whatever it is.
Right.
As opposed to just kind of like trudging along until you go, well, I don't even want to see this person anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
I loved your joke last night about like parents are like an ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to do it if you don't want to.
No, I can do it. The joke I did, I posted it on Twitter and I've done it on stage maybe like five times, maybe six. And like there were two times that it didn't really work that well. And then, but the majority of the time it is working, but it's a new one, right? So like at this point, my parents are like an ex-boyfriend. Like they were what I needed at that time in my life, but now it's best we don't speak.
I love that. It's so really good. Relatable and true.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
That's how I feel about them. I'm like, you have served your purpose.
Right.
You
so fed me. Relatable.
Yeah.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I definitely spent the most time with Kane, which I think is like pretty like duh. Right. You live with that person and they're your husband.
Right. Yeah.
But I'd say you guys are the people I spent the second most time with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I love.
And I do feel like you went on a good amount of trips with like friends from home and stuff. You did a great job of that.
Yeah. I think that was probably part of my resolutions from last year as well, was to like continue that trend from the previous year, was like really make that a priority. And I'm always happy when I do. Mm-hmm. Like, fills me up so much. I'm about to do that. My best friend, by the time this comes out, she will have had her baby. We're about to go see her. I'm so excited. And awesome. It's just important. It also makes me like continue to love stand up and not feel burnt out.
Yes.
Because it just like totally replenishes me to do that.
Yeah. My first like high school friend this year also had a baby. Mm-hmm. And it was so fucking cool. And your best friend had a baby. Like, it's cool to see your friends become moms.
Yeah.
And just step into that role and be like, oh my gosh, like, you're keeping something alive now? That's nuts.
I became a godmother this year.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
McKenna. McKenna's my goddaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's so cute.
Oh my God. She's like
cutest baby.
Perfect little Gerber baby. In my life. She is
just an angel.
Yeah,
she's darling. So
I don't want one. Okay.
The next question, number four. Are you in love with the idea of something, or are you in love with the process?
Good question.
That is a great question.
Don't fall in love with the idea of something. Fall in love with the process it takes to get there. The truth is, chasing the end of a path is what leads so many astray, and the ones that actually reach the prize end don't see it as an end because they are so in love with the process.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to be a professional this or a famous that, but is it the idea of that title or status that drives you, or the love of the craft in the first place? If you want to do something great in life, look for the latter. Look for the thing you would do even if no one was watching, even if no one validated you for it. That's the path that will carry you the furthest. Whew, that is so good.
That's so true. Good.
I love that.
That's where I was with stand-up.
Yeah.
I the idea of some of it was really cool, and I hated almost every second of it, except for a very, very small percentage. And I realized, wait a minute, I'm not doing this for the right reasons.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. You know?
Yeah.
This was how I felt in school, because my parents were really strict, and they had me like get straight A's no matter what. And I remember thinking every time I got the report card that had all A's on it, I was like, this was not worth it. Like, this did not feel worth all of the pain I endured to get here.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, having a few B's or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, this was not good enough. And I think you could feel that way about doing something like doing the Netflix special. I mean, the Netflix special was a day. That was one day.
Yeah.
And if I had just been the type of person who's like, I need a Netflix special, but I hated stand-up and I hated performing and like hated doing the road, I'd be miserable. And I would have, I think, crashed harder afterward. But I'm like, and now I'm enjoying the process of building a new hour, even though it's hard as fuck.
Yeah.
It's like so stressful to have to write new material and be kind of on a deadline and like not feel funny all the time. But like, I've been really loving like sitting down at my desk every day for hours and just like trying to figure out what else to say and what else to talk about. And I think there are a lot of people in this business, especially, and I mean in any job, like people who want to be a lawyer or a doctor because they like the idea of being that, and then they get there and they're like, I'm miserable, I don't even like this.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think especially like if you were an overachiever growing up, like so many of us have talked about and shared, you kind of get addicted to that like trophy or the certificate. But like you said, it was like, what, that I didn't even enjoy it, and I just was like miserable this whole time just so I have another trophy in my room.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I've had to realize that too, where I think I've taken on pressure to achieve and accomplish from like other people, you know, like we were kind of talking about this last episode, and realizing like, hey, it's okay. Like, if it's okay if you get B's and C's and you don't kill, I wish I could go back and not kill myself over A's and extra credit and A pluses. I wish I would have had more fun. Yes. And I think recently my parents were saying, hey, well, you should talk to my have three younger siblings. Oh, you should talk to the kids about like, you know, getting better at their homework or doing this. And I'm like, honestly, I don't know what I would tell them. I don't think I would tell them to do what I did. I think I'd be like, yo, just calm down. C plus B is fine.
Yeah.
You know, and just enjoy your time, relax, go do some yoga in the backyard or something. Don't try to get straight A's if it's really affecting your mental health and your well-being and you're burnt out. Like, I don't think I would do it the same. I'm glad I did because I know what I'm like capable of, but I don't think I would do that. I think it was a really unhealthy pattern to get into, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year marked 10 years of doing stand-up for me, which is
such a
crazy like time to really look back and evaluate and be like, wow, to do 10 years of anything is strange.
Yeah.
And I was really happy to go, oh, wow, I still really love doing this. Because it's a good time to check in and be like, how do you feel about this?
Yeah.
Do you only care about the product? And I really still love just doing it and like writing. And I still get excited when, you know, I write a new joke and I'm like, oh, I hope people like this because I'm excited to tell it. Like, it's so nice to still feel that way about it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me know always that like I'm still doing the right thing. So
dude, that's awesome. Yeah. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that you guys freaking love it. Is it your 10 year too? Are you guys?
I technically started next year. Like, I guess technically from the first time I It'll be 10 years like in the spring.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's a cool feeling.
All started stand up around the, I mean, I didn't, but you guys started stand up around the same time and now we're all together.
I know. Isn't that fun? I mean, I was in high school, so it's like the first couple years, like, you know, I wasn't going
out that
much. But
that's like for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I guess that's true. Yeah.
Well, maybe the exception of like, you know, Hannah, we're talking about these like really amazing comics that are just coming up and like
starting really going starting hard really young, right away. Yeah. I know Ron Funches, is like, he was going up every night when he started because he had a kid and he's like, I have to make this my job.
Oh, wow.
So I think some people start really hardcore. Wow. Yeah. But yeah, like, I don't know. I used to feel insecure about saying like, oh, I started when I was 16 because it's like, oh, but not really. And it's like, people get like, I've been.
Everybody has. I went up maybe like this. Once a month for the first year.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like, same.
Exactly. Do you count that? I just, you can't get into the semantics. I'm like, I started at this time and that's what I'm going by.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever. It's fine and everybody has different, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, the on that same note, the part of the process is like immersing yourself in the community of whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. And like, I think I've really, put that on the back burner up until this point because I was just so anxious. And I think part of enjoying the process is like getting to know other comedians and being around and like being more a part of it. And I think I was so focused on like becoming a certain type of comedian or reaching a certain level. And at a certain point I did. And then I forgot to look around and be like, oh, I should like say hi to some people. you know what I mean? Because I was just trying so hard to like be on TV and like prove myself. And I really had to like practice some positive self-talk this year in like the last 6 months and be like, okay, I am like, I'm good at this and I think I've established myself enough where I don't need to just be like head down, shoulders hunched, staying out of like people's way. Like, I need to enjoy this.
People are happy to see you.
I want to get to know people. Like, that makes it so much more fun than just like focusing on killing or, you know, getting on as many shows as possible and just really like trying to build that social time into it.
That's good.
Unrelated to work, what do you feel you need to improve most in your life? It's the life you lead outside of your work that ends up having the biggest impact on the work itself. How does your body feel? How is your mental health? What are your eating habits? What is your sleep schedule like? How is your relationship to your significant other?
I feel attacked.
This is a lot. These are the foundational pillars that are important to consider at the end of each year. I mean, that's a lot of questions in a row. So, I mean, first off, how does your body feel, everybody?
Like shit.
Well, I'm deathly ill, so.
So that's a bad one.
That's a no.
Yeah, I have not been good for the last, like, 4 or 5 months. I have not been good since, you know, probably my breakup, like at making sure like I was working out for a while, like wasn't really eating that much and stuff. And I feel like I really need to get back on that. Mm. Like just being locked in. I feel like I was better at that.
Yeah. My only resolution this year is like wellness. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Moving my body, eating nutritious food, and trying to do something like, you know, meditative or something like that. A little tiny thing every day. Just small. That's it. I'm only giving myself one thing. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How's your mental health?
I think mine's improved a lot.
Yeah.
I meditated a lot this year. That was a big goal. And I actually did stick to that. So that's
And, you set boundaries.
Yes. The meditating, it really does help. I swear to God. Like, I feel less anxious this past year than I ever have my entire life.
Wow.
That's really good.
That needs to be a goal of mine this year is the meditation. I've been avoiding it because it freaks me out, but
it really does help.
Yeah. My mental health feels all right. I feel like it probably is better. I saw my psychiatrist the other day and I was kind of like venting about a lot of things. I need to find a new therapist because my therapist is just not available to me enough. Mm. But, she was like, it was good to talk to somebody who's been seeing me since the beginning of the year. Yeah. And I took a break in the middle, but she was just like, she's like, you were way worse. Like even just like a few months ago, she's like, the meds are really helping. She's like, you are handling things so much better than were. Really, and I was like, oh, thank God. Like, that's good. Cause sometimes it's hard. It's like someone seeing you every month while you're losing weight, as opposed to someone who sees you every day at work where they notice a bigger change.
Yeah, I think my anxiety has actually gotten worse. So that's something I need to work on. I think I was even though I was super overworked in the beginning because I was very excited about my new business, but it didn't feel like crazy. But I was doing better to like take care of myself. And I think I was like, I was just so stoked that I could make my own schedule still. And now I've gotten used to it and I don't appreciate it as much. Yeah. So I was really like trying to like do the morning routine. And I was like, stretching every morning and breathing and all this stuff, and all that shit went out the window recently. Yeah. Or, you know, not so recently. So that's something I actually started the year off really well, and I not so great right now. So yeah.
Well, this is why we're asking ourselves these questions. What are your eating habits? I mean,
he wanted us to go wait in the car.
I'll step outside for this one.
I've been good about not eating as much meat. Yeah. I've been good about that.
Delaney, you became vegan this year.
Yeah, I became vegan this year. I became vegan.
Should we feel proud of that?
I am super happy with it. It's one of...
Has it only been a year that you've been vegan?
It's been less than a year. It happened in March.
It feels like it's been forever.
March.
Yeah.
So... What is it?
Nine years.
Yes. Feels like 9 years for Kelsey to be around me as a vegan.
Former math major. Emphasis on former.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. It is my favorite decision that I've made, right up there with doing something I love for a living. I would say I even am more passionate about it and love it more than being a minimalist. It's very much up there.
So you know it means business.
So it means a business because you fucking know I love to declutter my shit and keep things nice and tight. So that's something I've been really happy about. And my dad went vegan. My stepmom went vegan. One of my close friends just went vegan. So I have like more people around me who are doing it now, and it feels like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I think I got some support in place and all this stuff. And
that's so great. You know, as a minimalist, I'm actually kind of surprised that you are not more interested in getting a Brazilian sugaring.
Oh my God.
Because it's just, it's less stuff for you to worry about. Oh. Declutter. Declutter your nethers.
Oh my gosh.
Do you get like a discount if you refer people? Or?
I swear to God, I swear to God, I don't. You do get your second one free though.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's funny, kind of
a as a reward.
I just want you guys to do it so that you can talk about it in the podcast. But oh no, I don't get any discount. That's funny. I do sound like I'm pushing it, like a Mary Kay consultant.
Okay, picture this: it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What is your sleep schedule like? My sleep is
could be better.
Mine's pretty solid. I think mine's consistently solid. I get enough
sleep.
That's good. Yeah.
Mine is always a work in progress, and I need to do other things. I need to get a sound machine that I can travel with.
Yeah.
I know there's probably an app on my phone too I can do.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I've been falling asleep to like The Office or something, which I think is still too much stimulation.
Yeah.
Your computer's on. That's not great. And then just like winding down. I need to read before I go to bed, and I don't.
I
know that would help.
I'll tell you in our segments later. I'll tell you guys a book you should read.
Ooh, okay.
Dude, I don't think I've read anything this year. Like I really don't think. I think I have stopped reading books.
Oh, I love books.
You know what I got into? I got into like listening to like audiobook type stuff.
Right.
And I actually got into listening to podcasts this year.
Yeah.
Which I had never really listened to podcasts. And once I started working from home, all day a podcast was going in the background. I was like, oh, I have not picked up a freaking, you know, old school paperback book.
They're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
They're great.
Like, I highly recommend.
Discovered as a new fad.
Just try it.
It's pretty nice.
Pretty good. And the last one is, how's your relationship to your significant other?
Good.
Yeah,
really good.
This is hot new fiance.
Yeah, I got a fiance. Yeah, we're good, man. I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, we're all in great relationships.
Yeah, it's lovely. Good men in our lives.
Anything else you did this year that you want to add?
Ooh.
I mean, Lots. I think everybody's got big shit. Yeah. Should we just go around the table and share?
Yeah.
I mean, Kelsey, you got married this year?
I got married.
That's massive.
I had a dope-ass wedding.
Yeah, you did have a dope-ass wedding.
I just posted some pictures of the office decor. If you guys want to check it out on my Instagram, it's at Kelsey Cook Comedy. It was so much fun. It was a fucking amazing day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We did it. We've talked about it a bunch. I don't need to get into it. But yeah. We got married. It was great. Yeah. I don't know what other big milestones. I feel like I already said them.
I
did another late night set, and that comes out next year. I headlined more clubs this year than I did last year, and then I'm already like looking at my calendar for next year, and I feel like it's already more than it was this year, and that's so exciting to me, because that's still, I think, like in my heart of hearts as a comic, I do take a lot of pride at like looking at a calendar and being like, oh, I get to go to the city and tell jokes to these people who like want to come out and hear what I have to say, and that makes me really happy.
Awesome. Taylor?
That's good. I mean, yeah, filming this special was huge. I did Conan again earlier. It's mostly been the special, because I mean, I sent the hour to Netflix in February, and it's gonna come out in February. Wow. So it's a year after I submitted.
Gosh,
it's
so cool.
That it's gonna come out, and it's crazy. I mean, this special has really changed a lot over the course of the year. I mean, you know, obviously in a big way over the summer. And I do feel like artistically I grew a lot. And I think personally I grew a lot. And like the end of last year was when I started going back to therapy in person. Yeah. So now I've like, I did a lot of therapy this year.
Yeah,
I did so much. I did individual therapy. When I started going, I was going like twice a week. I saw a psychiatrist. I have a psychiatrist now, which I've never had before. Mm-hmm. I saw a couples therapist for a couple months, which, you know, I got a bit out of. And, you know, yeah, just like, I'm trying to think about where I was this time at the end of last year. And I think at the end of last year, I was really happy, but I was, not as like, I didn't know myself as well.
Maybe, yeah. Mm.
And I wasn't as fully formed as a person. And I do feel like I feel a lot older this year.
That's
good. Just feel like kind of tired, but in a good way.
Just worn out.
You know? Yeah, I just feel a little worn out, but kind of like, oh, wow, I like know. I thought I knew what I needed to work on last year.
Yeah.
And now I really know what I need to work on. And I feel like it takes a lot longer to, you know, fix certain things about yourself than you think you're gonna need.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
With the anxiety stuff and whatever else. Like,
yeah.
You know, it's just,
there's no fixing it, just managing it.
Just managing it. It really is just managing it. And I think this next year, I feel the same way as you do, Kelsey, where I'm like, my calendar's very full. Hopefully things are gonna change for me in significant ways. And like, there's a lot of stress and pressure going into 2020, but I'm grateful for it. And I think I'll be able to, you know, do the road in a different way that helps me feel a little less isolated and all over the place. And I think I've learned a lot about just, you know, we've talked about this so much, Kelsey and I, but just making your job as comfortable as possible, because you're going to spend a lot of time working.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I had to write mine down because I want my only goal next year to be my health. I'm done setting career stuff right now because I think I've gone overboard. And so I'm really giving myself the complete opposite goals. But I got engaged. I left my day job. I hired a cartoonist for Dick Spy Delaney. I started a consulting business. I'm about to launch an online course. I got a puppy. We got Maverick. We rescued him. Self-Helpless reached over 1 million downloads several months back. That was like a crazy goal that didn't even know that that was a thing that we would be doing at
some
point.
We never made that like a concrete goal. And when it happened, we were like, wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. And I'm really grateful. I feel like therapy really kicked in this year. You know, it's like,
I feel like
I've been going to therapy through the motions and like I've been liking it, but I really saw significant changes in myself because of it this year. So I'm really grateful for that. And yeah, I think that was pretty much it. I've also been learning to manage my time a lot better the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm going to keep that going. But so yeah, time management and health is what I'm focusing on now. The career stuff will take care of itself, hopefully, but I'm not going to put all of my energy into that like I usually do.
Yeah.
I think it's stupid and unhealthy. So
yeah, I think that's really smart. I feel like I made my health a huge goal, but I probably had career goals too last year.
Yeah.
But I do feel like my health was a big goal this year. And yeah. In some ways I've done a good job. In some ways I haven't.
I'm taking a year off of career goals. I'm not setting a single one. I love that.
Mm-mm. That's great.
Yeah. All right. And our iTunes review of the episode is from Katie McHugh. Self-Helpless is the podcast I use as a joy sparkling palate cleanser.
Joy sparking.
Joy sparkling. Sorry, Katie. A joy sparking palate cleanser. I love it. I spend a lot of time reading / worrying about politics and listening to true crime podcasts. So Self-Helpless is perfect to cut through that anxiety and get back to the present. It feels like having a funny, meaningful conversation with friends about how to make yourself and your life better. Thank you for everything you do, Kelsey, Delaney, and Taylor. You should all be very proud of yourselves.
Aww.
Oh, Katie, that's so nice.
That is really nice.
So sweet. Thank you so much.
I love when someone says you should be proud of yourself. I'm like, thank you. Bless you.
That is so nice. And you know what we did? I think this year we went past 1,000 reviews on iTunes, mm-hmm. I believe.
We're coming up on 2,000.
Oh,
we
wow.
just crossed 1,700.
So oh, wow. Look at best. That.
That is really cool.
Look at that.
I mean, that's all you guys. That's all you listeners. We love you, Helpsters.
So much. If you can leave a review, that helps the show just so much. Leaving a review, telling somebody about it, just, you know, getting it out there.
At the least, just click the 5th star. It's just one click. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
We got some segments?
We sure do.
We do.
I just want to share a book that I guess this could be like a good shit or treat yourself. I just finished reading the book Educated by Tara Westover. Wow, what a phenomenal book. I usually read like murder mystery, just fiction, fun, like Girl on the Train type mm-hmm. of shit. Educated is a nonfiction story. It's basically an autobiography about a girl who was raised in Idaho, with a very strict Mormon upbringing, like without an education. Mm-hmm. So basically not even homeschooled, like lightly homeschooled, but her dad thought that, you know, organized education and schooling was like the devil type of a thing mm-hmm. and the government trying to brainwash people. And so she grew up uneducated and then you're reading this book and it is so well written and so eloquent and you're like, well, what the fuck happened to get to this point? And it's the story of how she became like she got her doctorate, like she's brilliant and it's such a good book. And it's just, you're reading it and you forget that it's nonfiction because you're like, this, I'm reading a movie. This is crazy. Like, the things that happened to her, it's just bonkers. So, anyway, if you guys are looking for a great book, check out Educated. I really liked it.
Cool.
That's been in my Amazon cart for so long.
Really?
Yeah.
You can just borrow it if you'd like.
Can I borrow
it? Of course.
I would like to borrow it.
Come over to my library.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, my good shit. So, something very strange and cool happened recently. Okay, so I put out a comedy special like a year and a half ago, and I did it for fun, and it was like my farewell to stand-up comedy. It's free on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's called Love at First Cousin. And, you know, talk about like, you know, like not being attached to the outcome of something. I was like, all right, just throw it out there.
Yeah.
So basically, long story short is I was contacted telling me that Michael Bublé is a fan of my comedy because he watched my special and I could not believe it. You know, just like 4-time Grammy winning artist, like sold millions of records and all these
Michael
things.
Bublé.
And like, I got like, you know, 12,000 people on YouTube have seen this special and one of them is Michael Bublé. and it was basically like one of my mom's really close friends, like a family friend, knows him. And yeah, that like he watched my special and we, Cam and I ended up FaceTiming with Michael Bublé, over the Thanksgiving holiday. And he was just so nice and told me that he really liked my stuff and my writing and all. And just, we had a conversation for like, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes. And I was just like, what a Twilight Zone moment. It's like Michael Bublé saying, really, you know, hey, I, you know, really like your writing, I'm a fan of your delivery, all that stuff. And I was like, I'm a fan of your delivery, Michael Bublé. Like, what is happening right now? This is crazy.
Thank you for so many Christmas albums.
Yeah, I was like, Mr. Christmas? Is that you? Oh my gosh. Oh, so my that God. Was like a very out of such a random thing. It was the most random. I just never thought that would be something.
Taylor and I were shitting our pants.
We really were. Like, what? What is your life right now?
I read that text. I mean, I barely finished every word of the text reading it with my eyes, and I just called you, and I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? What? What did you just send to me?
Yeah,
explain yourself.
You called me so fast.
I'm sure you're like, oh, she must be calling about something else because there's no way. And I just was like, I need more information right now. What do you mean? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Bublé is not like, you know, just some guy.
No. No.
Who was big at even one point.
Right.
Michael Bublé.
Michael Bublé.
Everybody knows Michael Bublé.
Yeah, I really
that is
do.
Impressive that everyone knows who Michael Bublé
everybody
is.
Everybody knows who Michael Bublé is. Yeah.
Who doesn't like Michael Bublé?
I feel like man. Yeah.
Even if you're not into that type of music, you respect Michael Bublé.
You do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's so talented. I mean, he's got great songs, too. Like, I just haven't met you yet.
That was a great one.
It's classic.
Classic, you know? That grocery store music video. Love.
Oh, beautiful.
We love it.
Oh, my God. Feeling good?
Yeah, I walked in. Great. I told Cam what was happening. I was like, we might be like FaceTime chatting with Michael Bublé tonight. And he's like, what? I fucking love Michael Bublé.
Cam. That's so funny.
Oh, yeah. So that was like such a random good shit, you know?
There's never been a better shit than that.
If I had to pick one fan of my comedy, my God, Michael Bublé is a freaking solid choice.
That is a great choice.
Oh, my God. Love that. Yeah, you broke my brain.
Segment wise, I guess I'm going to piggyback off of yours and just do a recommendation. I think that's a nice idea. I don't know if that's a new segment we're doing, but I'm into it.
Oh, I like that actually as a new segment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if we need to make up a name
Hot
for
Rex.
It.
Hot Rex.
Hot Rex. There we go. It's done. We did it. I don't know if you watched this, Kelsey, but season 3 of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel came out. Did you watch that show?
I didn't. I mean, I watched maybe the first 5 or 6 episodes of the first season and I didn't.
Couldn't get into it?
Couldn't get into it.
Wow.
Also, I don't like watching shows about stand-up because I would like an escape.
It's like barely about stand-up. I mean, it is, but it's like a period piece.
Yeah.
So it just feels like... But I get
like
that.
You like that sort of era. You know what
I do. You don't like period pieces when it comes to like films
sometimes.
Or TV shows.
So I'm real picky and weird about that shit.
Did you watch Mad Men?
No.
Really? Okay. That makes sense. Okay, so if that's not your thing, I fucking love it. Yeah. I think it's so awesome. Yeah, I think it's so good. Somebody described it, I think on Twitter, I forget who did it, it was a comedian or something, said that it's like a musical with no music. And it's exactly what that show is. Like the just everything is so perfect and immaculate, and like most of the people who are cast in it are like theater actors. And it's just so much of what I like. Like it is stand-up, but it's not entirely like I thought the second season was like very little was about stand-up, honestly, at the end of the day. And it just feels like a stand-up fairy tale.
Yeah, that's a really good way to describe it.
Yeah,
I saw the first, how many seasons are out, 3 you said?
This is the third one, just came out.
I've seen first and
on
second,
Amazon,
so I just haven't watched the third yet.
Yeah,
it's like that's a really good way to describe that.
Yeah
it's just beautiful. It's to watch
glamorized.
I will say, when I was right smack in the middle of my breakup, I had to go to Ireland for work, and I was there for like a week, and I was in so much emotional pain, and I rewatched the show, and it was like the only thing that made me feel okay, because it was such a nice like distraction. It's like just so colorful and light.
Yeah,
like it's one of those shows, like if you are thinking about death too much, watch this show, because you just, there's nothing about death in it at all.
You know how when like a TV show is like emanated for a
nominated
nominated
Did I say it wrong for a second time?
Yeah, it nominated for a Nami.
You guys, I'm
this
so
is nominated
sick.
For an Emmy.
Nominated for an Emmy. Wow, that was great. And you know how like the billboards have like quotes from like big people in Hollywood about like this is a must see.
Yeah,
blah, blah. I just want to be like, if you're thinking about death too much.
A great this show is the for show you. For you, Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh, yeah,
it's. I mean, that's how I feel. There's so few shows that are just like comforting and distracting and make you feel very present, and that's how I feel about this show.
That's great.
Yeah,
I'm so glad that I'm so glad you found that for yourself.
I love it. It's so good.
I feel like I should do a hot rec really quick. My favorite documentary this year was Game Changers on Netflix. So good. If you have not seen it, it's fantastic. It's about sexual performance and athletic performance, and there's some history, and it's funny, and there's some biology. Highly recommend. Great job.
That's
great
awesome.
Job, Game Changers. Yeah,
love.
Yeah.
I think my, as we've just heard from Emanated, I'm done. I'm done.
For Kelsey's so very sick.
Very ill.
You guys are the best. We all love you.
Love you
T-tom
so much.
TTomComedy.com for tour dates. I'm all over the place.
Tay and I are on the road a lot in January, especially. KelseyCook.com for my tour dates. And we're going to be doing shows together with Delaney.
Yeah.
San Francisco Sketch. Am I about to say
Sketch
more
Fest.
Words wrong? San Francisco Sketch Fest on January 25th. That's a Saturday. Go to our website, get tickets. We know we got a lot of helpsters in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Super excited to see you guys. So come out to our first tour date of 2020, baby.
Yeah, also, let me know what I should do at that show, guys, if you have any ideas for me.
Yeah, let us know.
I don't do stand-up anymore, so I was thinking about doing, like, I don't know, like a TED Talk of some kind about leaving my job, but I really don't know what to do. I might just not perform, and then I'll just do the live show with you guys.
No, you need to do
what
something.
Am I supposed to
do? Oh, I don't know if I can do stand-up on it, because I'm performing some in the same area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I might only be able to do...
Well, maybe just I do, won't. Like, a live podcast.
Live podcast would be great. Yeah. That'll give me... Hey, seriously, write in your your ideas, because I have none. That'd be great. Thank you. Yeah. I thought about, like, just writing some new jokes for it, but I'm like, that's not who I am
that's
anymore.
It
doesn't make sense.
Yeah, send requests of what you'd like to see a live show about.
Yeah.
If you're thinking of coming.
Yeah,
that'd be great. And yeah, I don't know. Follow me on Instagram at Delaney Fisher if you'd like to know as soon as my Thriving Artist course comes out. It's so close to being finished. I'm very excited. My test group was amazing. They're getting great results, and I love them so much. So yeah.
Awesome.
Cool.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Thanks for being part of Self Helpless for another year.
Yeah. Yes.
Hope you guys had a great year, and we will talk to you next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Self Helpless. We love you guys so much. There are a few different ways you can support our show. You can leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. It really helps us move up the charts. You can also tell a friend about the show, post it on social media, and you can join our Patreon. It's where you can get bonus episodes from us and lots of really fun content and ways to interact with the show. That's at patreon.com/selfhelpless. And if you go to selfhelplesspodcast.com, that's where you can get links to all of our individual stuff. Delaney, where can people find you?
You can find me at DelaneyFisher.com. You can find the online courses there, one-on-one creative consulting, watch my comedy special, and find Dicks by Delaney there.
Perfect. Tay, where can people find you?
You can find me on TTomComedy.com for tour dates and links to everything else social media-wise. I am at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter and Instagram.
Perfect. You guys can find me at KelseyCook.com for all my tour dates. My Instagram is at KelseyCookComedy. Twitter's at KelseyCook. Please be sure to watch my foosball web series on YouTube called Wrists of Fury. I've had Delaney and Taylor on together. It was such a fun episode. And you can download and buy my album Savor It on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you find comedy albums. We also want to give a shout out to our amazing producer, Lauren Mahoney, and our amazing editor, Emma Erdbrink. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye. Bye.